Tractate 21. John 5. 20-23 Part 2. This, then, he is about to show us, this he showed to his disciples, who saw him in the flesh. What is this? As the Father raiseth the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. Is it that the Father some, the Son others? Surely all things were made by him. What do we say, my brethren? Christ raised Lazarus, what dead man did the Father raise, that Christ might see how to raise Lazarus? When Christ raised Lazarus, did not the Father raise him? Or was it the doing of the Son alone, without the Father? Read you the passage itself, and see that he invokes the Father that Lazarus may rise again. As a man, he calls on the Father, as God, he doth with the Father. Therefore also Lazarus, who rose again, was raised both by the Father and by the Son, in the gift and grace of the Holy Spirit, and that wonderful work the Trinity performed. Let us not, therefore, understand this, as the Father raiseth the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will, in such wise as to suppose that some are raised and quickened by the Father, others by the Son, but that the Son raiseth and quickeneth the very same whom the Father raiseth and quickeneth, because all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. And to show that he has, though given by the Father, equal power, therefore he saith, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will, that he might therein show his will, and lest any should say, the Father raiseth the dead by the Son, but the Father as being powerful, and as having power, the Son as by another's power, as a servant does something, as an angel, he indicated his power when he saith, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. It is not so that the Father willeth other than the Son, but as the Father and the Son have one substance, so also one will. And who are these dead whom the Father and the Son quicken? Are they the same of whom we have spoken, Lazarus, or that widow's son, or the ruler of the synagogue's daughter? For we know that these were raised by Christ the Lord. It is some other thing that he means to signify to us, namely, the resurrection of the dead, which we all look for, not that resurrection which certain have had, that the rest might believe. For Lazarus rose to die again, we shall rise again to live forever. Is it the Father that effects such a resurrection, or the Son? Nay, verily, the Father in the Son. Consequently the Son, and the Father in the Son. Whence do we prove that he speaks of this resurrection? When he had said, as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. Lest we should understand here that resurrection which he performs for a miracle, not for eternal life, he proceeded, saying, for the Father judgeth not any man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son. What is this? He was speaking of the resurrection of the dead, that as the Father raiseth the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will, and immediately thereupon added as a reason, concerning the judgment, saying, for the Father judgeth not any man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son. Why said he this, but to indicate that he had spoken of that resurrection of the dead which will take place in the judgment? For, saith he, the Father judgeth no man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son. A little before we were thinking that the Father doth something which the Son doth not, when he said, the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doth, as though the Father were doing, and the Son were seeing. In this way there was creeping in upon our mind a carnal conception, as if the Father did what the Son did not, but that the Son was looking on while the Father showed what he was doing. Then, as the Father was doing what the Son did not, just now we see the Son doing what the Father doth not. How he turns us about, and keeps our mind busy. He leads us hither and thither, will not allow us to remain in one place of the flesh, that by changing he may exercise us, by exercising he may cleanse us, by cleansing he may render us capable of receiving, and may fill us when made capable. What have these words to do with us? What was he speaking? What is he speaking? A little before, he said that the Father showeth to the Son whatever he doth. I did see, as it were, the Father doing. The Son waiting to see, presently again, I see the Son doing, the Father idle, for the Father judgeth not any man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son. When, therefore, the Son is about to judge, will the Father be idle, and not judge? What is this? What am I to understand? What dost thou say, O Lord? Thou art God the Word, I am a man. Dost thou say that the Father judgeth not any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son? I read in another place that thou sayest, I judge not any man, there is one who seeketh and judgeth. Of whom sayest thou, there is one who seeketh and judgeth, unless it be of the Father? He maketh inquisition for thy wrongs, and judgeth for them. How is it to be understood here that the Father judgeth not any man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son? Let us ask Peter, let us hear him speaking in his epistle, Christ suffered for us, saith he, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered wrong, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. How is it true that the Father judgeth not any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son? We are here in perplexity, and being perplexed let us exert ourselves, that by exertion we may be purified. Let us endeavor as best we may, by his own gift, to penetrate the deep secrets of these words. It may be that we are acting rashly, in that we wish to discuss and to scrutinize the words of God. Yet why were they spoken, but to be known? Why did they sound forth, but to be heard? Why were they heard, but to be understood? Let him greatly strengthen us, then, and bestow somewhat on us so far as he may deem worthy, and if we do not yet penetrate to the fountain, let us drink of the brook. Behold, John himself has flowed forth to us like a brook, conveyed to us the word from on high. He brought it low, and in a manner leveled it, that we may not dread the lofty one, but may draw nigh to him that is low. By all means there is a sense, a true and strong sense, if somehow we can grasp it, in which the Father judgeth not any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son. For this is said because none will appear to men in the judgment but the Son. The Father will be hidden, the Son will be manifest. In what will the Son be manifest? In the form in which he ascended. For in the form of God he was hidden with the Father, in the form of a servant, manifest to men. Not therefore the Father judgeth any man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son only the manifest judgment, in which manifest judgment the Son will judge, since the same will appear to them that are to be judged. The Scripture shows us more clearly that it is the Son that will appear. On the 40th day after his resurrection he ascended into heaven, while his disciples were looking on, and they hear the angelic voice, Men of Galilee, saith it, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same that is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him going into heaven. In what manner did they see him go? In the flesh, which they touched, which they handled. The wounds even of which they proved by touching, in that body in which he went in and out with them for 40 days, manifesting himself to them in truth, not in falsity, not a phantom, or shadow, or ghost, but, as himself said, not deceiving them, handle and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. That body is now indeed worthy of a heavenly habitation, not being subject to death, nor mutable by the lapse of ages. It is not as it had grown to that age from infancy, so from the age of manhood declines to old age, he remains as he ascended, to come to those to whom he willed his word to be preached before he comes. Thus will he come in human form, and this form the wicked will see, both they on the right shall see it, and they that are separated to the left shall see it, as it is written, they shall look on him whom they pierced. If they shall look on him whom they pierced, they shall look on that same body which they struck through with the spear, for a spear does not pierce the word. This body, therefore, will the wicked be able to look on which they were able to wound. God hidden in the body they will not see, after the judgment he will be seen by those who will be on the right hand. This, then, is what he means when he saith, the Father judgeth not any man, but all judgment hath he given to the Son, that the Son will come to judgment manifest, apparent to men in human body, saying to those on the right, come, you blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom, and to those on the left, go into everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Behold, that form of man will be seen by the godly and by the wicked, by the just and the unjust, by the believers and unbelievers, by those that rejoice and by those that mourn, by them that trusted and by them that are confounded, lo, seen it will be. When that form shall have appeared in the judgment, and the judgment shall have been finished, where it is said that the Father judgeth not any, but hath given all judgment to the Son, for this reason, that the Son will appear in the judgment in that form which he took from us. What shall be after this? When shall be seen the form of God, which all the faithful are thirsting to see? When shall be seen that word which was in the beginning, God with God, by which all things were made? When shall be seen that form of God, of which the apostle saith, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God? For great is that form, in which, moreover, the quality of the Father and Son is recognized, ineffable, incomprehensible, most of all to little ones. When shall this form be seen? Behold, on the right are the just, on the left are the unjust, all alike see the man, they see the Son of Man, they see him who was pierced, him who was crucified they see him that was made low, him who was born of the Virgin, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah they see. But when will they see the Word, God with God? He will be the very same even then, but the form of a servant will appear. The form of a servant will be shown to servants, the form of God will be reserved for sons. Wherefore let the servants be made sons, let them who are on the right hand go into the eternal inheritance promised of old, which the martyrs, though not seeing, believed, for the promise of which they poured out their blood without hesitation, let them go thither and see there. When shall they go thither? Let the Lord himself say, so those shall go into everlasting burning, but the righteous into life eternal. Behold, he has named eternal life. Has he told us that we shall there see and know the Father and Son? What if we shall live forever, yet not see that Father and Son? Here, in another place, where he has named eternal life, and expressed what eternal life is, be not afraid, I do not deceive thee, not without cause have I promised to them that love me, saying, he that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will show myself to him. Let us answer the Lord, and say, what great thing is this, O Lord our God? What great thing is it? Wilt thou show thyself to us? What, then, didst thou not show thyself to the Jews also? Did not they see thee who crucified thee? But thou wilt show thyself in the judgment, when we shall stand at thy right hand, will not also they who will stand on thy left see thee? What is it that thou wilt show thyself to us? Do we, indeed, not see thee now when thou art speaking? He makes answer, I will show myself in the form of God, just now you see the form of a servant. I will not deceive thee, O faithful man, believe that thou shalt see. Thou lovest, and yet thou dost not see, shall not love itself lead thee to see? Love, persevere in loving, I will not disappoint thy love, saith he, I who have purified thy heart. For why have I purified thy heart, but to the end that God may be seen by thee? For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But this, saith the servant, as if disputing with the Lord, thou didst not express, when thou didst say, the righteous shall go into life eternal, thou didst not say, they shall go to see me in the form of God, and to see the Father, with whom I am equal. Observe what he said elsewhere, this is life eternal, that they may know thee the one true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And immediately, then, after the judgment mentioned, all which the Father, not judging any man, hath given to the Son, what shall be? What follows? That all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. The Jews honor the Father, despise the Son. For the Son was seen as a servant, the Father was honored as God. But the Son will appear equal with the Father, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. This we have, therefore, now in faith. Let not the Jews say, I honor the Father, what have I to do with the Son? Let him be answered, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. Thou liest every way, thou blasphemest the Son, and dost wrong to the Father. For the Father sent the Son, and thou despisest him whom the Father sent. How canst thou honor the sender, who blasphemest the sent? Behold, says someone, the Son has been sent, and the Father is greater, because he sent. Withdraw from the flesh, the old man suggests oldness in time. Let the ancient, the perpetual, the eternal, to thee the new, call off thy understanding from time to this. Is the Son less because he is said to have been sent? I hear of ascending, not a separation. But yet, saith he, among men we see that he who sends is greater than he who is sent. Be it so, but human affairs deceive a man, divine things purge him. Do not regard things human, in which the sender appears greater, the sent less, notwithstanding, things human themselves bear testimony against thee. Just as, for example, if a man wishes to ask a woman to wife, and, not being able to do this in person, sends a friend to ask for him. And there are many cases in which the greater is chosen to be sent by the less. Why, then, wouldst thou now raise a captious objection, because the one has sent, the other is sent? The sun sends out a ray, but does not separate it, the moon sends out her sheen, but does not separate it, a lamp sheds light, but does not separate it, I see there ascending forth, not a separation. For if thou seekest examples from human things, O heretical vanity, although, as I have said, even human things in some instances refute thee, and convict of error, yet consider how different it is in the case of things human, from which you wish to deduce examples for things divine. A man that sends remains himself behind, while only the man that is sent goes forward. Does the man who sends go with him whom he sends? Yet the Father, who sent the Son, has not departed from the Son. Hear the Lord himself saying, Behold, the hour is coming, when every one shall depart to his own, and you will leave me alone, but I am not alone, because the Father is with me. How has he, with whom he came, sent him? How has he, from whom he has not departed, sent him? In another place he said, The Father abiding in me doth the works. Behold, The Father is in him, works in him. The Father's sending has not departed from the Son's sent, because the sent and the sender are one.